The best commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God. And the portions I'm going to show you give us interpretation and additional information about the things that we read that's not there when you read when it actually happened. And so you'll see what I mean in a moment. We found out last hour that though Joseph was cast into prison, the Lord was with him. How many of you can give me the verse of Scripture that defines what it means when it says God was with him? Just as I thought, and that's why I have to show you. And if God succinctly puts it in a verse and interprets it for us, well, it's just beautiful. So let's look in chapter 31, because these things are basic. Some things a person says are interesting, but they are not basic and are not long-lasting. But this is something that God tells us. Chapter 31, verse 42. What does it mean? It says, God was with Joseph. Well, let's see what it says in verse 32. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me. Now notice, Jacob says, he was with me as well. Surely now hadst thou sent me away empty. God hath seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. You say, well, that's remarkable. So all of these things that kept Jacob from being destroyed, robbed, taken advantage of by his father-in-law, it was because God was with him. And in like manner, in the case of Joseph, God being with him, God caused him to prosper. God caused him to be a blessing to the man for whom he was working. So just that portion from the Word of God. Now, chapter 42, you must see this. When we read of Joseph being brutally handled by his brothers, we read absolutely nothing of what Joseph said. But now, look at this. In chapter 42, look at verse 21. These are his brothers. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the distress of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. You didn't know that, did you? That Joseph was beseeching them not to do this to him, to have mercy on him. And we didn't learn it until chapter 42. Now, turn to Psalm 105. There are other portions as well. You have to look up all the references, and then you have what God says about it. We had Joseph being cast into prison. But how did he feel? What was his reaction? Well, let's look at Psalm 105. And look at verse 17. God sent a man before them. Joseph was sold for a servant. His feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron. Did you know that? So it doesn't mention it. No, but God tells us now. His feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron. It means the iron went into his soul. It means that emotionally he experienced the pain, the degradation of being made a prisoner. Now, look at verse 19. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tried him. So it means that God had spoken his words to Joseph, and now Joseph, instead of seeing these words spoken by God fulfilled, he sees everything going in reverse. Instead of being higher, he's brought lower. And notice what it says. It says, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tried him. Now, let's read chapter 40, all right? Chapter 40. Joseph has been cast into prison. And even when he's cast in prison, look at 39, just these verses, that the Lord was with Joseph, 39:21. The Lord was with Joseph, showed kindness unto him, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Here, as for Joseph, so for his father Jacob, God was with him. Tells us what happened. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. It doesn't make any difference what happens to Joseph. If he's sold as a slave, he's exalted to the man next to the master in the house. If he's cast into prison, he is exalted to the man next to the ruler of the prison. No matter what you do with Joseph, he always bounces back. Now, he's in the prison, and it says the word of God is trying. The word of God, his dreams, had told him that he was going to be exalted and bowed down to. And instead of that happening, he becomes a slave, and his morality results of his being cast into prison. It says the word of God is trying him. It means that when God makes you a promise, he's putting you to the test to see if you believe that what he says is going to come to pass. I better bring this to your attention right now. Let me give you an example. When the Lord Jesus, in John 11, spoke to Mary and Martha, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified." And the Lord Jesus told Martha what he was going to do. But when the Savior was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, she said, "No, Lord, no." And the Savior said, "Said I not unto thee, that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" You see how his word is trying, Martha? And so God makes promises exceeding great in pressure, and the promises are not being fulfilled. They do not come to pass. It's the word of God trying you. It's not God failing in his word, but it's the word of God trying you. Remember that. All right, we'll tell you a little bit, God willing, about his temptation, but he's in prison now because of his morality, and it says, chapter 40, verse 1. And it came to pass after those things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker offended their lord, the king of Egypt. It seems as if there has been an attempt on the king's life. Somebody tried to poison him. Well, is it the baker or is it the butler? Verse 2. And Pharaoh was wroth against his two officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. Think of these two prominent men that are now thrown into proximity with Joseph. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where his Joseph is bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he ministered unto them. And they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and saw them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in ward in his master's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sad today?" And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, I pray you." And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and on the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes, and they were cut within my hand, And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head and restore thee unto thine office, and thou shalt give Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Now, this is the first time you see Joseph asking anything for himself. Look at verse 14. But have me in thy remembrance when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. You see, for the first time, we have him protesting his innocence. God gives it to us here. You find nothing about it in chapter 39, when he was accused by Potiphar's wife. Verse 16. When the chief butler, Baker, saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, 3 baskets of white bread were on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked food for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within yet 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler, and the head of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet, did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him? Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we're thankful that while telling us theological things, like all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we are thankful that while telling us theologically, you show us things in the lives of men. Let us know how much easier it is to understand them when we see them lived out. Father, you are light and you are love, and that is theological, but you told us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you for showing us in the life of your Son what you are. And thank you for showing us, Father, in the lives of men, what is expected of them, the temptations that they are to bear, the morality, O God, that can be manifested in their lives. So teach us from this life of Joseph, we pray. We thank you for what we've studied already concerning him, and now empower and prepare for this hour we ask of thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. That is what is so difficult when the word of the Lord tries you. That God tells you good, exalted things concerning you, and instead of good things happening, bad things happen, and you get lower. But will you remember now what I showed you? The Word of God tried him. If you have no word from God, you would not know what to expect. But if God says to David, you're going to be king and sit upon the throne, and yet he was only a step from death, the Word of God is trying. And in like manner, if Joseph is to be exalted to the highest realm, and instead of going up, he goes down, the promises of the Word of God are trying. And this is what is happening. And what is so difficult is that not only is he going down, but he is going down not because of disobedience, not because of slothfulness, But because of obedience and integrity and morality, he goes down, down, down. And you would think that it would lift you up. But at times, God allows it to bring you down. And so the Word of God is trying you. It was trying Joseph. Now, I want to tell you about this because it's one of the loveliest portions in the Old Testament. If I mention Samson and Delilah, did he pass this test of morality? You say no. He failed. But if I mention David and Bathsheba, did he pass this test of morality? You say no. He failed. If I mention Joseph and this test of morality, did he fail? You say no. He passed it gloriously. Well then, you look at David and you look at Samson and you take fear and you look at Joseph and his hope. It is not necessary that a teenager or a young man submit to immorality. You see that God is teaching you in the life of this man. But what happens is we have our idols. And all of these idols, especially the ones in the musical world, they're whoremongers and adulterers, and they're on drugs. And if they're your idols, how can you expect to be anything but like those idols? But if you read and fill your soul with the life of this man, Joseph, then you understand what it is to say no to sin. Titus 2, the Word of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And this is what God expects of young men. He expects it in your youth, and he expects it in your old age. And therefore, he is confronted now with one of the most difficult temptations for this reason. Here is this woman who is the wife of his master, and she comes and makes these lewd suggestions to him. And what can he do? This is my master's wife. I must please her. I can't displease her. What will happen? But he takes his stand and he says, no, I cannot do it. You know that he comes out victorious. And the way he does it is this. He does it because of loyalty and gratitude to his master. And also his devotion and his determination to be faithful to the holy standards of God, whatever the cost might be. Now, are these things fine to you? Do you appreciate what people have done for you? His master had bought him and then had exalted him to being a slave to being the highest man in the house. He was next unto Potiphar in his own house. And David never forgot it. And he understood that this man could be trusted, and Joseph was not going to betray that trust. He had confidence in him, in his integrity, in his truth, in his ability. And it says his master did not even think of what was going on in his house. Then how could Joseph steal? How could Joseph fail in an assignment given to him? He could not. Because he had this gratitude and he had this responsibility to his master in this secular area. But at the same time, he has a responsibility to God as well. And when Potiphar's wife makes a suggestion to him, he tells of the gratitude that he has to her husband, all that he's done for him, the exalted position that is now his, and he says, I cannot commit this great wickedness and sin against my God. Has the world taught you that adultery and fornication and lewdness is a great wickedness? Or do you accept it today and laugh at it? And when you see it, it means nothing to you. You find out the grievousness of a sin by the penalty that God tells us should be carried out concerning that sin in the Old Testament. It says if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, he is to be put to death, the man and the woman. That's the seriousness of this sin in God's sight.
And what is sexual immorality to you today? It means nothing. We accept it. We expect it. But in Joseph's case, he said, I cannot commit this great wickedness against my master, and I cannot sin against my God. And so those are two ways that will help us to escape the temptations of sin. I mentioned two, and then I will mention others. First of all, the one against whom you sin. This is another man's wife. He's given me everything in his house except you. A wife is sacred. Marriage is sacred. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And let not another come in and look with lewdness upon a man's wife. And at the same time, he spoke of his master and he spoke of his God. And God says, I am holy, you shall be holy. And Joseph determined to remain holy. Now, how many have failed that test today? One other thing. There are not only resolves, words that you speak, but just as Paul tells Timothy, he tells him two things. He says, flee fornication. You can speak with a person to a degree, but if you see the intent of that person is so intense that the speaking will do no good, you do not remain and continue the talk. You flee. And what did Joseph do? You say he ran. Then a coward is not one who runs from an enemy he cannot conquer. The Bible says, flee you for lust. Flee fornication. Why? Because if you try to reason it out and stay in its proximity, it will destroy you. And when it destroys you, then you will look back with regret for the rest of your life, this temptation that you failed. But in the case of Joseph, he did not fail. So thank God. What I want to point out is that Joseph understood the situation. If this is his master, and his wife comes and makes an accusation against him, he cannot implicate his wife with dishonesty, with lewdness. Can't you see that? And Joseph sees that as well. And I believe, as I read the whole story, that the husband knew that his wife was lying. He sensed it, because he could have had Joseph put to death immediately. But all he did was to have him put into prison. Why? Because he probably knew the circumstances, but he could not say to his wife, you are the guilty one, and Joseph is the innocent one. And so here was something that Joseph understood. And evidently, he did not bring any accusation against that woman. That's the nobility of the man. He kept his mouth shut, and when she made that accusation, he would simply humble himself and allow whatever the outcome was to be to come to pass. And it was his master casting into prison. That, the way he felt, and what he wanted to say, and what he wanted to do, is told when the chief butler spoke to him about that dream, and then Joseph said, look, he said, I've done absolutely nothing that was wrong. He said, I was stolen as a slave. I don't deserve to be a slave. And he said, I'm in this prison unjustly. I've done nothing wrong that they cast me into this dungeon. You see, for the first time, he says, without mentioning the woman. Now, what we could do is to slander this woman, tell how evil she was. But notice the discreetness of Joseph. When his brethren were the ones that kidnapped him and wanted to kill him, he simply puts it this way, I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. That's the way he describes what his brothers did to him. And also he says, and I've done nothing wrong to be cast into this dungeon. Doesn't say one word against the woman. He says, I've done nothing wrong. But he could tell all the wrong that she had done. But he does not speak of it that way. And so God delivered him. And so I wonder if we are filled with the holy ideals that are found in this young man, Joseph. If we know our responsibility to our fellow man, if we know the sacredness of marriage, and at the same time, if we know the grief of sin against God when the sin is committed, it will go far in keeping us from submitting to sin. Now, sometimes you need help, and I'll tell you about myself. When I was first starting to preach in Raleigh, 40 or 50 years ago, they had certain ones that would take you out preaching with them, and in this instance, Brother Luther Wilson had taken me somewhere to preach with him, and we went into this restaurant. And when we were in this restaurant, the waitress came up and took his order, and then she came to me as a young man. I've already told you how good-looking I was, you understand? And this waitress came and was fawning all over me, and, what can I get for you, and so forth. And so she took my order, and when she went back to the kitchen, Brother Luther said, "Milton, take this tract and give it to her." And it was a tract that said something like this on the front: "How to escape the flames of hell." And so when the waitress came back and she was fawning all over me again, I said, "Here is something for you to read." And she looked at it and was startled. And I assure you, not one other movement was made toward me. I was left alone entirely. And so do you see, at times, it's something practical like that. You need an older man to help you. And one thing, if you were witness, did you notice that Joseph named the name of God in speaking to this woman? And if that will not do the trick, then run for your life, even if they're going to apprehend you and bring you back and falsely accuse you, because it makes no difference. When Joseph was stolen and sold as a slave into Egypt, it says God was with him. And then when he was lied against and cast into prison, it says God was with him. That's why we cannot be conquered. We are more than conquerors. Why? Because if we maintain devotion and faithfulness to God, no matter what happens to us, God is with us. But let me tell you something that's frightening about Samson. When Samson succumbed to the wiles of Delilah, and finally he told her wherein his great strength lay, and the locks of his hair were cut off, Delilah said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon thee." And this mighty man said, "I will get up and go out as before." It says that he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Do you see the difference? He was able to fight 1,000 men when God was with him. And when God left him, he was not able to overcome this weak woman. And they took him and put out his eyes, and they put him at the grist mill, and he was grinding as a beast of burden. Do you see what you can do if God is with you? And do you see what happens to you when God leaves you? Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. The Lord Jesus says concerning his critics, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended because of what you said?" He said, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and they will both fall into the ditch." Maintain integrity and devotion and faithfulness and purity to God, and God will never leave you. And become a slave and let God be with you. You will prosper. Become a prisoner and remain faithful to God, and he will be with you. And in due time, as it says in Galatians 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. God has his fullness of time. Now, I know how long he was in Potiphar's house as a slave and in prison. 13 years. Because it said when he stood before Pharaoh, he was 30 years of age. Think of that. Isn't that a rather long time for the word of God to try a man? You say 13 years. Some of it as a slave and some of it as a prisoner. And God let him stay in prison all those years until finally he had things arranged. Let me tell you this. It's most interesting. For God to work out his plans for the nation of Israel, he had to send a man before the Israelites into Egypt. Now, all of this in hindsight we can understand. But God is sending a man into Egypt, and to get Joseph out of prison and into the presence of Pharaoh, he has to have him cast into prison and to have him spoken to and of by a man of importance who is in the presence of Pharaoh, he has to have him to meet this butler. And the butler is going to be cast into prison. And Joseph has to be there. And so for that reason, God says, Joseph, you've got to be in prison. I have things arranged that the baker and the butler are going to be cast into prison, and you will tell them their dreams, and then that is the way I'm going to get you out. The same thing happened in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are praying how to know the will of God, and finally they have a Macedonian vision, come over and help us. And so then they follow the bidding of God, and they go and preach in Philippi, and they find themselves beaten and cast into prison. You say, why would such a thing happen? Because that is the way that God was going to start the church at Philippi. I could think of easier ways to meet this Philippian jailer, but God says, this is the way. Listen to what Paul says concerning salvation. He says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul said, I'm prepared to endure all these things for the elect's sake. Well, how are you going to save this Philippian jailer? By having you beaten and cast into jail and having an earthquake to occur. Isn't there another way? God says, there might be another way, but this is my way. And Paul says, I'm prepared to endure all things for the elect's sake. And now, God has plans for the nation of Israel, and Joseph said, I am prepared to endure all of these things for the plans and purposes of God. Are you? Or when the hand of God is upon you, do you turn away? The descendant came to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And the Lord Jesus said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You hear no more about that man. And so there are some who say, thy kingdom come. Paul says, I'm ready to do everything in my power to make that kingdom come. And Joseph also was ready to do everything in his power to make God's will come to pass. And so, he's cast into prison, and that is the way that God was going to have him to meet this influential person who stands before Pharaoh day by day, his butler, who puts the cup into his hand. And so God has to bring the two together. And just as there must have been a better way than having Paul and Silas beaten and cast into prison, but God said no. And there must have been another way to have Joseph to meet the butler, but God says no, this is the way. And so Joseph is prepared to meet every emergency. Isn't that remarkable? He was ministering to these two men. These were high officials, and so even though they were in prison, Joseph was assigned to minister to them. And when he came in, he was an alert man. He saw their faces, how perplexed they were. And he said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And then they told him about their dreams. And he said, dreams? He said, now the interpretation of dreams belong to God. He said, tell me the dream. And so, the butler first, and then the baker. I can understand. Had it been the baker first, I don't know if I were the butler, if I would want to have that dream interpreted. But it was the butler first, and in 3 days, you're going to be lifted up, exalted, and be in the place that you were before. And so the butler, the baker has a similar dream, and he says, well, I'm going to ask the interpretation also. And then Joseph gives him his interpretation. Now, here is another difficulty for young Joseph. It's so hard when at times I have to come and people ask me concerning marriage and divorce. They say, now, these are the conditions of our marriage and divorce. I have to tell them, you're living in adultery. That's a hard thing to say. And at the same time, concerning little Samuel, God, when Samuel was a child, came to him. And he told Samuel what was going to happen to the house of Eli. His house was going to be destroyed. And little Samuel got up the next morning. And Eli came to him and said, now you tell me everything that God told you. Who would want to tell a man that was the high priest, that all of these terrible things were going to happen. But little Samuel told him faithfully. And then old Eli had to accept. Now, if I have a message like the one contained in the dream of the butler, I'm so happy to tell people. It's like if you come and tell me about your profession of salvation, and you tell me about your goodness and how you joined the church and you were baptized, but you did not tell me you've been born again. You've been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. And you say, now tell me about my soul's condition. I say, you are lost, and you will be eternally separated from God. You must trust Christ in his precious blood. Now, that's hard, but people have to tell you that. If you tell me I'm not much, I've been a sinner my whole life long, but I've smitten upon my breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and I trusted that Christ died for my sins on the cross, I'm so glad I can say, you're saved. You belong to God. And so there's some messages that are pleasant to give to people, and they are unpleasant to give to people. But how many times have you heard about divorce and remarriage and adultery and fornication and lewdness and promiscuity going on in the world today? But here's what you find. I've read it to you, and I'm telling you about it now. I tell you that most fail. Had I told you about Jacob's brother, his son, Joseph's brother, Judah, I didn't read you chapter 38, but Judah, his brother, is guilty of going and marrying a woman that was a foreigner, and then in that same chapter, he's guilty of incest because he goes whoremongering. And this is what God tells us, you see. But here is his brother, Joseph, and in contrast to Judah, who failed, Joseph is a man of integrity. That's why Joseph in his faithfulness is always faithful. When his brothers committed evil, it said, Joseph went and told his father. He brought an evil report against them. Why? Because I see what kind of brothers he had. And I see this, that perhaps Jacob spoke to all his sons. Perhaps he only spoke to Joseph. Perhaps he saw how the words of morality, integrity, and the will of God and the plan of God for the nation of Israel, they meant nothing to his other sons, but they meant everything to Joseph. And so Jacob would tell him those things. But whatever, whether he did or did not, all of his other sons became incestuous, they became adulterous, they became murderous, they became thieves, and yet Joseph never departed from these things. So here is Joseph, and now the dreams are given, and having given the interpretation of those dreams, courageously and faithfully, he says this to the butler. He says, I've told you what's going to happen. Within 3 days, you're going to have your head lifted up, and you'll be standing before Pharaoh again and giving the cup into his hand. He said, now when that happens, I want you to do me a favor. Have me in remembrance and show kindness unto me and speak to Pharaoh concerning me and bring me out of this dungeon because I've done nothing to deserve to be here. Will you do that for me? And I have no doubt that the butler gave protestations that he could never forget a young man that would tell him such things, that had this power. Never forget the young man. And as soon as the butler is released and restored to his former position, it says, he remembered not Joseph, but forgot him. And so now, Joseph says, at last, I see that my dreams are possibly going to come to pass. Here is this butler, and he will speak to Pharaoh concerning me, and I will be brought out of this dungeon. And so he waits a day, a week, a month, a year, 2 years, and nothing has ever happened. You see how God's word is proving him? And so every time he does something good, every time he uses a gift that God has bestowed upon him, instead of exalting him, it casts him down. And now he's filled with the despondency of being forgotten for 2 full years. But God is at work, and God has not forgotten him. Time is gone. Let us pray. And Father, we're so thankful that you do have some that are faithful to you. We remember that when the world was filled with such sin, and you said, the end of all flesh is before me, you have told us that Enoch walked with God. We're so thankful that there have been men like Enoch in the past. And when a whole family is filled with evil brothers and sisters, we're thankful that in that family there can be one, Joseph. So that you challenge us, our Father. Help us to be faithful to our secular positions. Let us do a good job, and let us bring glory to God. Let us do it as unto Christ and not unto man, and it will be pleasing to you. And then, Father, in due time, whatever you would have us to be and where you would have us to be, we shall accomplish. So let us not fail when the word of the Lord tries us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.